The Lord loves his church. We see this as Peter stresses the need for leadership of his people in their suffering and trials, and leadership of the right kind. He urges the local church leaders to discharge their duties in a ready, enthusiastic, and exemplary fashion, remembering to whom they are under shepherds, the one who has promised to reward them for their faithful service. Be shepherds, Peter tells the elders. Be shepherds. Serve and serve willingly. Be an example to others. We're just going to pick up some of those words and go through them now. Firstly, be shepherds. Peter says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder. Peter, as an elder, speaks about what elders should do and how they should be. And he knows, because he's a witness of Christ's sufferings. He saw Jesus' perfect character through the tough times when he was up against it. And Peter would never have forgotten those words that came from the Lord to him. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. So leaders are told, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. The commission, the command is to shepherd, and to shepherd as Jesus, the good shepherd, shepherded. And no one loved people as Jesus loved people. And he is described in Hebrews as that great shepherd of the sheep. In the world, many leaders have no love for people. They only care for themselves. And that can be particularly true in the religious world as well. For when Jesus said that he's the good shepherd, he's speaking to those who have spent years under the evil sway of bad shepherds. Jesus, when he was on earth, was deeply concerned for people. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. And why that concern? What did he see that prompted that compassion? Because without being led well, they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Without a shepherd, without being watched over, without being taught, the people were like sheep and easily led astray. So Christians, we all need a shepherd, a leader. And without that, then things quickly go wrong. Like I said, the leader is the important part to make a church, like that irreducible bicycle. There has to be at least one elder to be a church. And when everything is going well in the church and every part is functioning as it should, then leaders can end up fairly invisible. And that's good, because the leader's role is that every part of the body should be functioning well. And the leader who loves the flock will make every provision for that flock and make sure they are never left without a shepherd. And when Moses, the shepherd of God's people, was told that he was about to die, what was the first thing he said in response? He wasn't, oh no, I'm going to die. He was thinking about other people. He said, may the Lord appoint a man over this community to go out and come in before them. One who will lead them out and bring them in so that the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. That was his concern. Good shepherds do not go off and leave the flock. They may make sure, they must make sure that they are looked after they have gone. And may a shepherd never think of his own situation before the needs of the flock and leave them leaderless and vulnerable, because there are wolves out there. But not only out there, possibly in here, Paul says to the elders at Ephesus, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Bad shepherds care little. When trouble comes, they are off. As Jesus said in John 10, the man runs away who cares nothing for the sheep. The good shepherd, however, so loves the sheep, he will give up his life to save them from the attacker. So there are snares and pitfalls that are before us. And that is why Joshua and I need to be on our guard. The best way Joshua and I can do that is to watch our lives and doctrines closely, as Timothy is told. So pray that we would be strong in Jesus. Pray that we may be wise, and that we will not fail, whether morally or theologically. Pray for Joshua and myself. It's a key relationship which the devil would love to destroy. And these kind of relationships are constantly under attack. And I can remember more than once having a feeling of discord with someone. And I thought, well, why am I feeling this way about that person? I thought, it's unreasonable. I can't fathom it out. They've done nothing wrong to me. I was not jealous. I searched my heart. But I could see the devil trying to divide. And that's what he likes to do. So that we might say something or do something or distance ourselves from each other. And the devil loves to destroy relationships and divide Christians. We need to be aware of that. He likes to see Christians ruined, ruining others, and ceasing to function properly. And that is why we need love and grace, are really the same thing, and maturity. They're really important. So having Joshua as an elder is a blessing to the church. So let's pray for him and pray for another to rise up as well. So what does a good shepherd do? A good shepherd serves. He serves the one who has entrusted him to the task, serving as overseers. Peter reminds them that they are under shepherds. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. It's not his flock or my flock, it is God's flock. And that's why we need to be wary when people say, this is my church, you know, as you get people doing that sometimes. No, it's Christ's church. It's his. Shepherds are Christ's servants and therefore should serve as the good shepherd did. Peter says elders should be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. In other words, with compassion, under your care, not under your rod. You know, watch a TV program on farming and you see shepherds behind the flock. But in the East, they're not behind the flock, they're in front of the flock and they lead the flock. So good shepherds don't push from behind, but lead from in front. And if they are good and caring, then to have a good lead is a blessing, isn't it? To lead well, to be led well is a joy. And a good shepherd is an example in how to live and how to serve. So a good shepherd is there to be an example by being willing. Not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Watch out for money. Money can be very, very much used of the devil. So beware. Not greedy for money. In fact, it suggests actually that right early on in the life of the church, they were being paid. Ministers were being paid. And why were ministers being paid? Well, they have what we call a stipend. And that's enabled them to have an income so they can be released from working, often manually, and they can spend their time in preparing God's word, which is for the good of all. So ministers should not be after the stipend so they can avoid working. Ministers should not be after the stipend so they can have money coming in when many around them in a poor world didn't have any money coming in. We are to serve as a calling and do so willingly. And an elder is to be an example, as I say, to serve, to be willing, to be an example in all things. So it's not surprising that the qualifications for an elder is not the gifting, because each one is gifted by the Lord as the Lord determined, but the main qualifications is character. And a character is something that we should all develop towards Christ-likeness. The only way the flock can be like Jesus is if the elder is like Jesus. Verse 3, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. some long for position. If that's the case, they're not fit for church leadership. And I know a Christian who's moving from church to church. He goes from a church to church which has no pastor. He turns up in the church, he's there for a while, And then he suggests actually that he could be their pastor. And he's done that twice now. I'm glad to say none of those churches have fallen for it. And when he sees that that's not going to be the case, he goes off and he has some other great plan. But Jesus warns us, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. So we must constantly be aware of pride. The Lord will not favour the proud man, for he's so contrary to how Jesus came to serve. He came to serve. And when we often read the word servant, actually the word is slave. Often it's better translated slave. So Paul modelled that humble leadership, and as he followed, he said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ, who is our great example. So your leaders should be ahead in maturity and Christ-likeness. And I think it's a true saying that the church, the spiritual level of the church, will not rise above the spiritual level of the leaders. Samuel, some years ago, had some work experience at a printer's. It was work experience, but it was also people experience. The way one learns best is to shadow people, to watch people, to see how they are, to see what they do. Do that over a long period of time, and you quickly pick up what that person is really like. In fact, Samuel asked, was this an apprenticeship or an internship? And maybe the better answer would be, actually, it's discipling. That's how you make disciples. They are essentially about observing, watching, and learning from people. So lasting changes are caught as much as taught. That's a reality, isn't it? They're caught as much as taught. We affect each other. We don't say anything, but actually we are observing each other and picking up things from each other. And when we don't quite know how to do this or that, we look and see who else is doing something, and we tend to set them as our standard. So it's really important that we are all heading towards Christ-likeness and encourage and help each other. So that applies for all of us in the room. Your Christ-likeness or your worldliness, your maturity or your immaturity, your enthusiasm to serve the Lord that you profess or your lack of enthusiasm, your work for the kingdom of God or your indifference is noticed. And it has an influence on everybody else in the room. That's the reality of it. And we particularly learn from leaders. We can learn from Peter. We can learn from Peter's teacher, the Lord Jesus. Servants learn from the master. So those with an exemplary character are good examples for others. May we have many like that here. They are to be blameless. And that doesn't mean perfect. Blamelessness means that they come under the magnifying glass. You can look closely, you can scrutinize them, and you don't find things there. For example, in the life of Daniel, King Darius appointed 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. And we're told Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. But Daniel had enemies, didn't he, who tried to find fault with him. And we are told they could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Well, Chris Mason, the political editor for the BBC, said on Thursday that one of the role of journalists is to stress test statements. In other words, you hear a statement and you need to just check it out, whether it's really true. Is it true or not? So Daniel was stress tested, you could say, by his adversaries. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. Daniel stood the test. The only way the flock can be like Jesus is if others, and particularly the leaders, are always like Jesus. So good leaders impact others for good. And there are many examples I could mention, such as the powerful and godly influence of John Hooper had on his flock in Gloucester. He was martyred under the reign of Bloody Mary, as was Roland Taylor of Suffolk. I'm just going to focus on one person in particular, just to see the effect that a good leader can have on a flock. So Fox's Book of Martyrs describes the town where first Thomas Bilney and then Roland Taylor ministered. The town of Hadley was one of the first that received the word of God in all England at the preaching of Master Thomas Bilney, by whose industry the gospel of Christ had such gracious success and took such root there that a great number of in that parish became exceedingly well learned in the scriptures, women as well as men. So many had often read the whole Bible through that they could have said a great part of St. Paul's letters by heart, and very well had readily given a good learned sentence in any matter of controversy. Their children and servants were also brought up and trained diligently in the right knowledge of God's word, so that the whole town seemed rather a university of the learned than a town of cloth-making and labouring people. And what was most commended is that they were for the most part followers of God's word in their living. In this town of Hadley, Dr. Taylor was a good shepherd, abiding and dwelling among his sheep. He gave himself wholly to the study of Holy Scripture, most faithfully endeavouring himself to fulfil that charge which the Lord gave to Peter, saying, "Peter, lovest thou me? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." This love of Christ so wrought in him that no Sunday nor holy day passed, nor other time when he might not bring together the people and preach them the word of God, the doctrine of their salvation. Not only was the word preached to them, but all his life and conversation was an example of unfeigned Christian life and true holiness. He was void of all pride, humble and meek as a child, so that none were so poor that they may not boldly, as to their father, resort to him. Neither was his lowliness childish or fearful, but as occasion, time and place required, he would be stout in rebuking the sinful and evildoers, so that no one was so rich that he would not tell them plainly his fault. With such earnest and grave rebukes as became a good pastor, he was a man very mild, void of all rancour, grudge or evil will, ready to do good to all men, readily forgiving his enemies, and never sought to do evil to any. So Roland Taylor took his responsibilities very seriously, labouring and preaching. And he goes on to describe a bit more. He says, to the poor that were blind, sick, lame and bedridden, or that had many children, he was a very father, a careful patron, a diligent provider, insomuch that he caused the parishioners to make a general provision for them. And he himself, beside the continual relief that they always found at his house, gave an honest portion yearly to the common alms box. Roland Taylor was a good shepherd, a true shepherd, a good salt of the earth, savourily biting the corrupt manners of evil men, a light in God's house set upon a candlestick for all good men to imitate and follow. What an example, what a legacy. Well, he's wearing a crown in glory, and that's where we finish at verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In this life there is hardships and difficulties, but the reward is coming. The Lord does not miss any service of the saints. A record is kept and a crown awaits. Peter knew he was one who will share in the glory to be revealed. And sharing in the suffering now, short as it is, will mean that we share in eternal glory. Paul said to the church in Thessalonica, "For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you?" That's the flock. Well, Roland Taylor could say the same as he went to his final trial before entering his glory. Roland Taylor was martyred. He paid the ultimate price and was cruelly burnt at the stake, along with Thomas Bilney. When that day came for his life to be given up, we are told, the streets of Hadley were filled with men and women of the town and country who waited to see him. When they beheld him led to death, with weeping eyes and lamentable voices, they cried, saying to one another, "Ah, good Lord, there goes our good shepherd from us, that so faithfully hath taught us, so fatherly hath cared for us, and so godly has governed us. O merciful God, what shall we poor lambs, scattered lambs, do? What shall come of this most wicked world? Good Lord, strengthen him and comfort him." The people were sore rebuked by the sheriff and the catchpoles, his men, presumably those who were involved in that led him. And Dr. Taylor evermore said to the people, "I have preached to you God's word and truth, and I am come this day to seal it with my blood." Whether that will happen to you and I, we do not know. It may come. It may do. Let us be zealous, diligent, and faithful to our call. A glorious prize awaits his faithful servants. So let's pray for Joshua as he takes up this key role, and seek the Lord to strengthen us all as we serve together. Amen.